Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. And this is a product of Purpose Kingdom Network, and this is the show, Self-Expressing Sports Edition, and it's going to be hosted by me, Brother Robert Pop Hudson. I know everybody is used to on Monday evening at 9 p.m. you're going to hear us talk about it, but right now we're going to have the Sports Edition of Self-Expressions, and thank you, welcome everyone, and thank you for joining me, whether you're joining me online or via phone. Thank you so much for joining us for tonight's program. And first, let me just go over something that I just wanted to say for those that have been listening to our program and know that we have been promoting the Women's Day at the New Salem Baptist Church. And yesterday I had the privilege to attend that service, and the Women's Day service was awesome. I attended that service along with my wife and a couple of my grandkids, and we felt truly welcome, and we truly felt just happy to congregate and fellowship, with the New Salem Baptist Church membership that's there. Truly felt welcome from the time I stepped into the door until the time I left. Shout out to them and their Women's Day service. And, of course, the guest speaker was our very own pastor, Talene Daly. It's truly a word to be listened to. And somewhere in the near future, we'll go ahead and we'll do that rebroadcast for those that heard it and those that didn't hear it. Stay tuned. And we'll go ahead and see if, you can hear that rebroadcast of that Women's Day service. And like I said, thank you to New Salem Baptist Church. Like I said, from the time I stepped in the door and from the time I left, truly felt welcome. And thank you guys so much. And just to go ahead and get into tonight's show. And let me just, rehash everyone who is familiar with Self-Expressions and are not familiar with my sports edition of my shows that I do. Now, the sports edition has been a spinoff from what I do at PKN Newsroom. And those who are not familiar with PKN Newsroom, every month, at the end of the month, we do our PKN News and Special Interest, pretty much bringing the gap between the world and the kingdom. And I have the sports interest segment there. And so what I'm going to do is this is basically a pretty big, huge portion of what I do in my spinoff. Usually I do a couple minutes. So tonight I'm going to do a whole show on a sports segment. And let me just explain, to guys that's not familiar with my sports segment. And pretty much of all sports that we have, I cover all sports, whether it's hockey, football, basketball, baseball. I live in the city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and I am, I like the Eagles. I like the Sixers. I like the Flyers. And pretty much any team, really, that's, part of my city. And it's just one of the things I have as far as just being interested in, the sports in the city of Philadelphia. And, when somebody usually says, hey, I really like my team, and I just want to break down the definition of what it is to be just, liking your sports and being a sports fan. I'm not a sports fan, and I just want to break this down, this definition down to you, because a lot of people take a little bit over the top, and I just want to let you know that I like my sports team, but I'm not a fan. And the reason why, because I'm just going to break the definition down of being a sports fan. Now, being a fan, and if you call yourself a fan, basically, I just want to let you know that what basically, if that's what you call yourself, I'm going to let you know that this is the definition of being a sports fan. And the word fan is basically short for being a fanatic. So let's go over that word for a moment, and we're just going to do this for a moment. And like I said, you know, I like sports, but I'm not a sports fan. And if you call yourself a sports fan, I just want you to reconsider calling yourself a sports fan. And that's just for one moment, because I want to break down the definition, because like I said, the word sports fan is just a short definition of what it means to be a fanatic. And that's pretty much, if you call yourself a sports fan, if you're a sports fanatic, I just want you to just revisit that word. And, you know, if you call yourself a sports fanatic, let's go into the definition. Okay, so a fanatic is a decided as a person who is extremely enthusiastic about and devoted to some interest or activity. So to have, you know, having explained that, that means you're going all in, you're going all out. You're going to bet the farm for your team no matter what. I very much like, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles. And first and foremost, that's the first team I root for as far as winning any games or whatever. And let me tell you something. Yes, 2 years ago when we won the Super Bowl, I made a fool of myself when I dropped to my knees and was praying to God, making all kinds of deals. You know, the kind of deals that you make is like it's as if you were having a heart attack and you're like, oh, God, please, please don't stop my heart now. You know, and things of that nature. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I'll be obedient for now and forever. You know, those were the kind of, you know, deals and the kind of things I was saying. And, yes, you know, I made a fool of myself. And, yes, you know, those are some of the prayers that, you know, we find ourselves saying in vain to God. And even though this was at a sport event, you know, sometimes we do the same thing with a lot of things that don't even mean anything as far as what matters to what God has, you know, placed in our heart, and as far as, you know, he chooses to have our devotion. You know, there are so many different things that we could be doing better or to better ourselves or to better our families than to, you know, just be claiming, you know, roots to saying that's my team. You know, and it basically goes down to the same thing as, and, you know, like I said, I just basically going through the bare bones as far as being a sports fan and some of the things that I just want, you know, you to understand as far as, you know, what we do as calling ourselves sports fans. It's the same thing as buying a lottery ticket, you know, whether you spend $1 or $100. You know, and basically that's not in God's plan for you. You know, God does not leave chance for anything to happen. You know, God has everything in his plans. You know, and the whole grand scheme of everything, God does not have a get-rich-quick scheme. He does not have a, you know, this is a process of elimination, and this is the team I want to win the Super Bowl, the NBA championship, the hockey's equivalent of the Super Bowl and things of that nature. And let me tell you, simply, as far as sports is concerned, I'm not going to leave any stone unturned. So before tonight, you know, I'm going to unveil a controversy that's old as almost anybody can remember as far as sports. One of the biggest sports scandal that has been so buried that, you know, everyone has seemed to forget. Also, I'm going to tie this into, of course, you know, being, we're going to incorporate the gospel. So if you will, just write down these two scriptures. We're going to go through two scriptures tonight. And like I said, I just want you to get familiar with me and as far as, you know, how I go. And like I said, if you have, you know, followed me with Pecan Newsroom, you know how my sports stories go. It's not going to be what you think it's going to be. So Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. And we're also going to cover Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 24. Trust me, this is going to be full of interesting facts that we're going to cover. And like I said, being me covering sports interests, I just want to let you know, like, as well as sports, history is the same way. History is full of fake facts and distorted images to make it appear what they want you to think. And basically, all throughout, you know, if you ever look at any kind of sports highlights or reels, and if you ever actually watched, you know, a whole game, sometimes you just don't know actually how that score came about between, you know, what was actually said, whether the game was, you know, 1 to 100 or if it was 3 to 15 or something like that, or if it was 10 to 3. You know, we don't know if we haven't watched the actual game, if we haven't actually watched the actual facts. The images that's presented to us are images that are presented to look, you know, for the outlook of, you know, whoever is more interested in whatever point of view that someone wants to make or how they want to present how the game was actually played out. But how everything actually happened, if you haven't witnessed it, you know, just as like a lot of people, when we take, you know, the firsthand account of what someone says versus what actually happened, and we're saying, well, what they said must be true because, you know, they're telling me what happened and they said they were there. But that does not mean that's what happened. And that's the very interesting thing about sports, and the reason why this is goes all the way back to the time of the gladiator days, where we took that on as a sport, and even though as violent as it was, it seems like the more violent the sport, the more interesting we were in. And it seems, even though football now is, you know, seems to be, you know, tamed down a little bit, whereas though, you know, it seems to be less injuries and less, you know, less people hurt, and it's supposed to be where it's more impactful for, where is that they're giving us the so-called the more bang for our buck, where everybody's safe and nobody's harmed. But in the same sense, as football is still football, it's a collision sport, people still get hurt. And, you know, like I said, you know, before we leave this evening, you know, like I said, I'm going to give you everything. And, you know, all throughout the history of mankind, we have faked a lot of things and made sure that it was presented in the images that we wanted people to see. So I know there are a lot of people out there, and any millennials or anybody that's pretty young, you can go to YouTube. And the reason why I'm referring to YouTube is I know that's kind of not, you know, the young thing, but that is the more accurate source of information that we can get, especially when it comes to something that dates as far back as 1970. And this is where I told you that there's going to be a scandal that is so old that you probably have forgotten it, if you know, if you're old enough. And it's going to be a scandal that, you know, if you're young enough, you've probably seen the images, but you probably brought into the images like I was. Because in the 70s, I was pretty young, and I always remember the opening of ABC's Worldwide of Sports. And one of the catchphrases was, you know, like I said, it would open up. I'll just go ahead and open it up, and I wish I could play the presentation, but like I said, you can go to YouTube and refer to ABC's Worldwide of Sports. And for many years, the opening of the program opened like this: spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sports, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat. And that's also tonight's topic, the agony of defeat. Okay, so the opening illustration, they show you the glory of defeat with a painful ending of attempt of someone doing a ski jump. And the skier appeared to be in good form as he headed down the jump. But then, for no apparent reason, he tumbled head over heels on the side while he was attempting to do his jump. You know, he bounced up right up above the support structure and crashed through the retaining fence and right there near a stunned crowd of spectators. And then, basically, after all this, he just stopped right there. And despite the intensity of the crash, the ski jumper suffered just only a mild concussion. So basically, I'm going to tell you that's the image that was displayed Now, let me tell you the real story of what happened and how that footage came about and how, you know, someone cleverly just placed the images and distorted the wording just to make it seem how that outlook came about. And when I do that at the end, and like I said, I gave y'all two scriptures. The first one was Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. And as I just go ahead through the narrative, you can just go ahead and you just go and read through that. And then we'll go through the narrative of what I'm going to say and describe as far as what actually happened. And so what actually happened, and like I said, if, you know, you choose to go to, you know, and if those that can multitask, if you go to, you know, hop on, you know, your cell phone and go to YouTube and go to ABC Worldwide Sports and hit opening theme and you'll hear the same narrative that I saw. You'll see the images. But let me explain to you what actually happened. So here's the rest of the story of, you know, between the images of what you saw and what actually happened. So there's a guy named Vinko Bogajos, and he was competing as a Yugoslavian entrant at the Ski Jump World Championship in Oberstdorf, Germany. And this happened on March 21st, 1971. And if I got the guy's name mispronounced, I'm not Yugoslavian and I'm not German, but this is the best pronunciation I can give you. So basically what happened is before his jump, you know, a light snow had begun, and basically during, you know, these ski jumps, what they do to maximize, you know, the actual lift and what the skiers are doing, and this is before a lot of it was regulated during Olympic times, they will lightly braise the slopes with some water. So snow was falling, basically, on the slopes after it was lightly sprayed. And so, you know, basically, you know, his jump was coming up. And so he had already did two jumps earlier. So this is going to be his third jump. And so by the time, you know, Bogaja was ready for his third jump, the snow became pretty heavy. And so when he was ready to go ahead, and like I said, he did two successful jumps already. So this is his third jump. So midday down the ramp, he realized that the conditions had made the ramp too fast. So like I said, already it was already lightly wet down. And like any other, you know, jumper and any of the jumps, you know, he did. But with the snowfall, it was coming so fast, and it pretty much made the conditions on the ramp where he was going down too fast. So what he did, he attempted to lower his center of gravity and stop his jump. But instead, while he was in the middle of doing that, he lost his balance. So don't forget, that slope was wet already, and snow was coming down heavily. So, you know, just because you're going straight don't mean you won't go side to side. And that's basically what happened. So it's likely that, you know, his crash would have remained pretty much obscure to anybody. But it just so happened that a film crew from Worldwide Sports had been recording the event. And they were recording every event, and this is the first time that they were recording everything diligently. And the show, you know, pretty much, you know, once they decided to use that footage, it featured an open narrative. And, you know, like I said, this is something that is well known. It's hosted by Jim McKay. And over the montage of different sports clips, and basically they just decided to insert the footage of Bogaj's tumble. And they concluded, this, you know, the whole thing and the whole montage with in the agony of defeat, with the video footage of Bogaj just crashing, you know, into the barriers. And that was just the whole image of the agony of defeat. And the whole thing that was kind of crazy was that, you know, during the narration, you know, basically all over the United States, that became just the image of catastrophe. You know, basically it was the synthetic pain of watching the guys just wiping out, and it was broadcasted week after week after week. And basically it transformed, and it pretty much uncredited that guy as a ski jumper. Basically, he turned him into an iconic. They turned him into an iconic failure. Meanwhile, let me tell you right now today, and I mean, going to let you know about Bagaj, because you know, now after all this has been said and done, you go to, you know, him, and what happened was, in 1981, which was the 20th year anniversary of, I'm sorry, 1991, which is the 20th year of ABC Worldwide Sports, you know, celebrating, you know, their entertainment, you know, history, their whole thing. And, of course, no one can get the open images of, you know, where, and then on top of that, the end phrase where the agony of defeat. So when, you know, everybody got invited, and what happened was Muhammad Ali showed up, and, you know, Bagaj was there, and Muhammad Ali asked for his autograph. And he wanted to know, hey, you know what? I live in this small hometown of Resurs, Slovenia. And, you know, I'm, after, you know, I've had my Olympic, you know, chances and my, you know, my hopeful dream of winning gold and doing what I can, and I'm married and I have two daughters. You know, he was like, what? And why are you asking me for my autograph? A guy as famous as you. Muhammad Ali, one of the greatest champions in the world. And Muhammad Ali was like, hey, you know, hey, I saw, you know, what happened, you know, during your ski jump where, you know, you pretty much epitomized, you know, the agony of defeat. And for the first time, he saw that video footage. And he explained it to Muhammad Ali, and actually, we give credit to Muhammad Ali and those that recovered him trying to do his autobiography before, you know, way before his time, but they wanted to do his autobiography. So this is how the actual story came out about Bagaj and what actually happened. So what viewers didn't know was that Bagaj had chosen to fail rather than finish the jump. And you're going to say, well, why would someone choose to fail rather than go ahead and finish? And you're talking about athletes. And you're talking about athletes, the ones that, you know, especially back in the day, that we always think that they go all out at no other cost. Nothing matters but winning. But let me tell you how rare athlete Bagaj was, because this is what he told Muhammad Ali. And this is what he explained. He was like, the jump surfaces have become pretty much too fast, which, you know, everybody knows that earlier I told about the conditions. And so midway down the ramp, he realized that if he completed the jump, you know, he would land way beyond the level where you're saying, well, he's actually going to break a world record on the ski jump. But when you say well beyond, they do have barriers at the time, and they do have what predicted, you know, the distance that where you can land and you can break the world record. And then they do have distances where it is way beyond there, and there's nothing but trees. So it's not cleared off. It's not a safe area to actually land in. So he realized that even if he broke the record, it would prove fatal, and he would never be able to be alive to realize that he actually did break the record if he died. So surprisingly, what he did was he said, hey, listen, I'd rather suffer because I already did, you know, two successful jumps, which was never broadcasted. And, you know, basically what he suffered from him actually, you know, choosing not to risk one's life, for fame, he chose to just go ahead and take the tumble, which amounted to no more than a headache, but, you know, basically he got his bell rung, he got a concussion. And, you know, basically, you know, we need to learn from Bagaj and what he did. What he did was, you know, to change, you know, and what we need to do is sometimes we need to change course. No matter what we think or no matter what we think that defying the odds or one beyond one's imagination, sometimes we can go too far beyond where it becomes fatal with us not even thinking about the chances that we're taking, the chance, you know, the undertaking that we think that we are in charge of, and without even using common sense or beyond a reasonable doubt of what are we going to land or where we could possibly land. You know, that is the difference between, you know, for some people, life and death. And I'm so glad that he chose that choice. You know, and it's all about the choices that we make. And let's not forget about our online listeners real quick, and I'm just going to just break in real quick and let you digest that. And this is a product of Purpose Kingdom Network, of course. And if you're listening online, the phone number to call in is 319-527-6091. And if you want to join the conversation, just press the number 1 on your phone. All right, and so let me just get back to Bagaj and his attempt of, you know, breaking Olympic world records and also saving his own life in the process, possibly, by, you know, and there is the saying, look before you leap. He definitely looked before he took his leap. And yes, you know, of course, you know, people take advantage of, you know, what we, you know, what we perceive and what we do, and they brand us sometimes as being cowards, and they themselves are not taking a step forward or even taking a risk of what we even get them to do. But in the same sense, you know, it's easy to do the name calling. It's easy to say, if I was in your shoes, I would do this. You know, one of the most, you know, famous things that, you know, I happen to be black, you know, a black American here in America. One of the things they was, you know, a lot of people would say was, I couldn't be a slave, and, you know, I wouldn't do this and I wouldn't do that. But, you know, the one thing that we don't do, as far as no matter where your walk in life is, that we can't place ourselves in somebody's shoes. Not even for 1 second. We just can't even imagine, you know, what it's like to be in someone else's shoes. And that's, you know, a major problem. And even us as Christians, you know, one of the places that we can't place ourselves is in someone else's shoes. We can't see what it is. And even if we came from the same walk of life, even if we came from poverty, even if we came from, you know, not having a lot of money, not having a lot of food, no matter what it is, not having a lot of necessities, even once we come out of that and we're placed ourselves into a different avenue, and even it seems like a new world, we just can't seem to place ourselves back in to where it, what it felt like, or what it, you know, what it meant to us to uplift ourselves, or to, you know, rise to the occasion, or arise from, you know, some of the dilemmas and some of the problems and traumas even that we had. It's just like sometimes we just can't do that. Like, you know, I've known people that was, you know, used to be an average cigarette smoker, used to be a raging alcoholic, and once they find themselves out of that and they look down and they ridicule and they epitomize, you know, something that someone has not broken free from, as far as them being weak, them being, you know, not strong enough. But, you know, we have to also know that, you know, when we get strength to overcome and compensate, you know, some of our deficiencies, some of our failures, to, you know, look after even our own best interests, sometimes those deficiencies are eventually going to make us stronger, what's going to actually forge us. And when he said you can be forged through the fire, when you go through trials and tribulations, you go through some of the things that it seems that you can't break from, it seems like you can't break that bondage. That's what makes us who we are right now today, in the end of the day. And so those that sit there and ridicule and not willing to offer that hand or not offer that sympathetic ear to those that have been, you know, in those places, you know, you're the one that can easily find yourself right back down where you are, because, you know, guess what? God has blessed you with an opportunity. Guess what? God is a forgiving God. You know, God has forgiven you. You know, you should have that sympathetic ear, that soft touch, that gentle word, or that kind, or that just kick and thrust to propel somebody. And, you know, everybody doesn't react and operate the same way. And sometimes, yes, somebody does need a swift kick, but that's not everybody. And, you know, we need to know and recognize, you know, like they say, game recognizes game. You know, if that's where you came from, you should know, you know, where you're from and what it's about. And, you know, with that being said, I just wanted us to go over, you know, that chapter of Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. And it's basically, you know, describing God and, you know, what he wants to do. And so I'm going to read the Message version. And basically, as it states, and that about wraps it up. God is strong, and he wants you strong. So take everything the Master has sent out for you. Well-made weapons and the best materials. And put them to use, but you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. There is no afternoon athletic contest that will walk away from and forgot about in a couple of hours. For this is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and his angels. And basically that, you know, that scripture describes God's peril and predicament. You know, nothing, a lie does not outlast the truth, no matter how long it takes. You know, there are so many different documentaries and sports, you know, stories that I have looked at and listened to over the year. This is the most fascinating thing that I've ever read and uncovered, and it just seems so cavalier that, you know, after all this is revealed, that this, you know, this guy was just reveled for so many years. And on top of that, we have a so happy world where, you know, a lot of people feel they should be compensated for a lot of different things. This man went on about his life. He went about his life because he was happy to live his life. He was happy to be able to have the opportunity to, you know, come through something that could have been fatal or near fatal, or, you know, or it could be a catastrophe. You know, there's no telling, you know, from his experience and, you know, what he knew about the, you know, the sport of skiing. And I'm quite sure that there were, you know, other people, you know, before him that, you know, tried to do the same thing and were thinking of, you know, fame instead of health. And I'm quite sure that all that came into factor when he decided to, you know, to pull up and just, you know, tuck it in and just not make the attempt. It was just not risk the worst of his life. It was not the risk of, you know, what he had before him. And, you know, We as just not only Christians, but as people, you know, if you were to see someone going downhill and you know that it was heading for disaster, would you stop them? And it seems like, you know, for the most part, you know, just from, you know, from the nature of how we react, sometimes we say, hey, let it play out. But how many people would just step forward and just say, let me stop this, or I think this is not going to be a good outcome, no matter what happens. You know, one of the better part of us being, you know, Christians and us being people, and this, I'm just going to say, just people as a general, you know, sometimes we have that reflex of, you know, what's going on in our environment, whereas though instead of being the one that steps forward or just put a word out there, you know, before we even open our mouths, we flip open our cell phones and we try to take a video and say, hey, this is going to be good. You know, we need to actually, you know, instead of being reactive, be proactive. And, you know, and when I say reactive, is being reactive is that you're taking that video, and then when you see the guy take a spill or whatever, take a tumble, and you're like, oh, my God, oh, wow, is he all right? No. That's not the way we go. You know, that's just seems the way we're going right now. We're going backwards. You know, this is something that has happened before. Whereas, like I said, we exploit what happened. You know, we want to be the one that has said, hey, I was the one that took the video footage of that happening. But you didn't take any of the blows. You didn't take any of the hard embarrassment of no matter what happened, you know, on the other end. You were just the one that was so-called being a watcher, being a documenter. But what good does that do anybody? What good does it do yourself? So, you know, with that being said, like I said, I just want to keep this a little bit more sports, you know. And that's just, you know, one part of, you know, like I said, I just want to make sure that you have that self-awareness of, you know, placing yourself in someone's shoes and also, you know, the reflection of, you know, can you do that? You know, can everybody, you know, place themselves in someone else's shoes? No, it's not an easy thing to do. No, it's not, you know, something that's plausible or admirable or even something that's encouraged that as it should be. But when you look at it the way in the angles I just brung it to you, you know, I just want you to think and reflect for a minute that, you know, especially right now at the times of social media where, you know, so many things can be painted positively and negatively. It depends on the person that's spinning it. And it seems like the last person that has the last word has that last, you know, reflecting, you know, that reflecting word on what, you know, what actually happens. Basically, I just want to let you know that, you know, for the most part, that, and no doubt I want, you know, to have in your mind that no matter what happens, that basically everything is God's plan, whether it's, you know, you thinking that God has, you know, your preference of your sports team, God has, you know, your preference of, you know, what you would like to happen during a certain time or what kind of record you want your sports team to have. You know, overall, you know, God doesn't about sports. He doesn't care about money. He cares about what he has invested in you, and that is the proven, you know, to prove that you are his best bet. He places everything in you when he made you. And what I got to back that up? He sacrificed his own son for you. And what ultimate sacrifice he done, because, you know, he didn't have to do that. You know, he went all in, you know. And you know, you want to talk about betting the farm, he bet the Holy Ghost on you. He bet that on you. So, you know, ain't no bet that you can place right now that can top, you know, what he placed on us. You know, he placed that on all of mankind. You know, you keep talking about what the odds are. You know, there's no odds on top of that. You know, what's the best bet? That was the best bet he did. And he put everything in on us. And I know right now it's not the time for the call of salvation, but right now I'm just going to lead up to that and just going to let you know, like I said, I just want to plant the seed and let everybody know that, yes, you know, we're talking about betting, we're talking about sports. And, you know, right now, you know, we have all kinds of media coverage about sports betting because pretty much across the nation, you know, sports betting is going to be where it's at, where they're going to have, you can bet live action, you can do this and do that. But the best, like I said, the best bet is you can bet and back up God's investment. God's investment was his son, you know, sacrificing himself for you. That was the best bet. And, you know, I just want to, you know, go over, you know, one more scripture, but we're going to, don't forget, it's going to be Matthew chapter 1, 18, verse 24. And most likely, we're going to do this at the call of salvation and the announcements. But, you know, like I said, I just want to let you know that, you know, it goes beyond, you know, what you think or what you think is important as far as, you know, we don't want sports to become idolism as far as the team. Teams change different players. They change coaches. They even change cities. And basically, what is it to you for you to place your loyalty in a team like that as far as, you know, coloring your hair, you know, and, you know, like I said, I like the Eagles. You know, I would never color my hair green. No matter how much I like it, no matter how many Super Bowls, they can win the Super Bowls for the next, every Super Bowl for the next 20 years. It's not happening. The 76ers, we got a nice young player, Joel Embiid, and we got Ben Simmons, and, you know, plenty of additions here and there. I don't care. I'm not getting the 76ers tattoo if they win a championship. You know, we got the Flyers, which, you know, I know quite a bit about hockey, and anytime anybody wants to know about hockey, you can talk to me, but same thing with them. I'm not wearing orange and black. I'm not, you know, getting a Flyers tattoo. And the Phillies, they won a world championship before. I didn't go down Broad Street. I had to go to work. You know, my family would benefit more if I went to work than me to go down the parade. Same thing with the Eagles when they won the Super Bowl. That's, you know, one of my favorite teams. They won a Super Bowl. I did not take the day off. I had more to lose going to see them celebrate the world championship than, you know, what it took for me to earn for my family. So, yes, I was so happy. I was so foolish, you know, praying to God, making deals with God. I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll make sure I'll come to church extra early every Sunday. I make sure I put an extra $2 or $5 in my tithes. God didn't care nothing about it. He was, you know, basically, he was just looking at me like, you silly son. I could make you do that anytime I wanted to. I don't have to make the Eagles win the Super Bowl for you to do that. But he didn't enforce any of that. You know, and that was a silly whim, and that's some of the things we do as far as, like, as far as silly whims that we have, you know. And God is amused by that because, you know, eventually, you know, we'll come around and we figure the follies of, you know, some of the things and some of the ignorant thoughts we had, and that truly was an ignorant thought, you know, to have, you know, such a thought and thinking that something like that was going to happen. But, you know, like, who, you know, anybody that's wise enough, that true ignorance would disappear and, you know, getting general knowledge of God's word. And, you know, basically, as you gain knowledge in God's word, and we share with one another, because guess what? Just as well as you read a scripture 10 times, someone that has read it for the first time or maybe the 50th time, they may have all of a sudden strike a meaning in the words. That's why we have fellowship. That's why we do what we do as far as fellowship. And that was like one of the great joys. And like I said, you know, we celebrated yesterday at Women's Day, at New Covenant Baptist Church. And that also happens to be the home to, let me give a shout out to Minister Bernard Merrill. And he's also a host here by Faithfully Good. You know, like I said, one of the persons that, you know, I met there, he actually made me feel welcome there. And I was glad to finally meet him face to face. And great, great, it was just a great outburst of rejoice and praise, just for the women, but just for everybody. And with this being said, I'm going to go ahead and go to the call of salvation. And after that, I'm going to do the announcements, and then we're going to conclude tonight's show. And before I do the call of salvation, like I said and stated before, if you're listening online, you want to call in, phone number to call in 319-527-6009. You can press the number 1. Anybody else on the line, if you want to comment, you can press the number 1 after I've done the call of salvation and the announcements. Any comments or questions are greatly appreciated. And with the call of salvation is basically my lead-in before I got to this point. And basically, it's the sacrifice that God has made for us. God has sacrificed his only begotten Son. And the only way through God is through his Son, Jesus. And we have to acknowledge that God has sent his Son, Jesus, to die on the cross of Calvary. And once we say that and admit that with our tongue, we're saved. We accept that God's sacrifice, and we accept that we're sinners, and that we wish to be born again. And you can say it in any words. It doesn't have to be eloquent. It can just be honest and forthcoming from your heart. And it's basically telling the world, or telling anyone this morning to listen, that I am saved and I am turned over a new leaf in life. This is a new beginning for me. You can say this to your mother. You can call someone, text someone. You can do it in any way you want. You can tweet someone. You can just announce it on Facebook. You can go live on Facebook and say it. Whichever way you wish to do it, please choose to do so. And the next thing we suggest you do is find a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary to nurture the word of Christ. If you can't find that sanctuary, there are so many different ways that you can do that. We have different ministries here. We have different church homes here. And you can just contact us here at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can just send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply send us an email. Let us know some of the church homes that we can invite you into until you find one that's permanent for you. However, if you can't find one or if you don't want to email us, you know, we're always here at www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom, where you can hear the many ministries that we have almost each and every night that we're able to broadcast. And we thank you for doing that and supporting us, and we hope that you find a church home. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom, where you can do likewise. We also invite you to like us on Facebook, where you can see our advertisements of our upcoming shows and some of our current shows. And just basically just see, you know, what we look like on our advertisements, or just have a look. And, you know, we thank you so much for doing so. If you have an iPhone or an Android phone, you can like us on Facebook by going to the podcast section on either phone. By going to the podcast section on the Android, you can go to, I believe it's something by something, and look up podcast and just, you know, search for us and hit Purpose Kingdom Network and like us. On Android, you can do the same thing. You just hit the search button on that podcast button and hit Purpose Kingdom Network, or type in Purpose Kingdom Network and like us. And that way you won't miss any of our upcoming shows or any of our episodes. You get a notification on your cell phone if you choose to add the notifications. And we thank you for those that, you know, choose to do it. And with God's will, God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for One Touch Transformations. And that's going to be hosted by Minister Arsenius Jackson. And once again, with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us for One Touch Transformations, and that's going to be at the 9 p.m. hour, and that's going to be hosted by Arsenius Jackson, and she hails from Florence, North Carolina, and hopefully she can tell us the good news about, you know, everything in the area from the aftermath of Hurricane Doria, and we just look for a praise report from her tomorrow evening. And with that being said, we're just going to go ahead and we're going to resume tonight's show, and by resuming, I just want to go ahead and we're going to go over Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and 24. And I just want to go ahead and read that verse there where And when I read this, I just want to let you know that this is, you know, something that everybody wants us to forget and everybody wants us to not believe. Okay? And this is, you know, this entails, you know, what I read, you know, what I spoke about earlier. So now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So when all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as an angel of the Lord commanded him and took to his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen, amen for that. And the reason why I wanted you guys to read that scripture with me, it was just, you know, a long time ago, it was a time that I was actually studying Islam, and a lot of, you know, referencing the Quran, you know, they reference this through the Bible. And I was referred to Matthew 1, and I believe it wasn't exactly the same chapters, but I read, as I was reading along, you know, sometimes how you read a certain verse, and then sometimes you didn't really get the meaning, and you go read through the whole verse. Well, you know, through the blessing of God, you know, I was able to read through, you know, that whole chapter, and I remember, you know, exactly that last part of the chapter, and that's when I had a revelation that, you know, through everything that everyone has said, you know, or spoken, or want to keep swept under the rug, and I was like, well, why did they have me reference, you know, this a couple of verses in that chapter? And then as I read through, and I read through that last part, that was something that propelled me to say, you know what, I'm, you know, even though I was getting comfortable in Islam, where I learned to pray, you know, had a prayer for everything, there was a prayer for just about anything I wanted to do as far as, you know, my walk in life. But time and time again, you know, when I started reading the Quran, I started studying the Quran, I started realizing that, you know, the little footnotes and the references to the Bible kept bringing me back to something, and is basically focusing on things that they wanted me to focus on. But as I started reading through, and this would actually had me reading through the Bible, because even though I was reading the footnotes, I was going beyond that. And the more and more I was going beyond, the more I started having revelations that, you know, I am comfortable in Islam, but, you know, right now, my heart is leading me to Christ through, you know, Christianity. And, you know, I'm not knocking anybody, you know, for whatever faith they are, but, you know, when we come to revelations, and sometimes, you know, there are things that are buried, and some things that, you know, people don't want us to have uncovered, and sometimes we eventually uncover them ourselves. No matter what, you know, we think that we're, you know, that we're doing, we all have that little journalist in us where, as though, you know, we're not going to have those horse blinkers on, where we just, you know, going to be just going to read what someone told us to. We're going to read and then stop and then keep going. We don't have those blinders on, you know, anymore as people. You know, social media and, you know, everything else that we have has opened our eyes so wide, where as though, you know, we just can't plead ignorance anymore. You know, and, you know, a lot of the steps I've made in my life, you know, I owe it to Christ. Because there was a lot of fears that I had in my life that, you know, I didn't want to uncover or I didn't want to tackle. You know, I had a lot of fears. Like one of the things I had a fear of heights. But I never tried to climb high. I never tried to do that. And, you know, if anybody sees any, you know, any of my videos on Facebook, you know, you see me working on something high up in the air, like 80 feet or something like that. And it's just not to brag. It's just for me to rejoice in saying that that's a fear that I've conquered. That's a fear that I thought that I would never ever, or a height I never ever thought that I would ever, you know, go to or achieve where as though I can just confidently and say, oh, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for protecting me and guiding me up and down. You know, a lot of us don't afford that luxury where we can tackle our fears. You know, but, you know, just like I said, once you're, you know, once you get out of your comfort zone and once you embrace, you know, the true nature of the spirituality that has overcome you, the comfort, you know, the comfort that God has afforded you as far as, you know, there is truly no fears. You know, the only fears there is the ones that you fail to conquer. You know, there's always someone out there that just, you know, they're afraid to take that first step no matter what it is. That it's just that first whatever it is. You know, one of the things that, you know, people have always said was, you know, especially very, very old people, was like, don't be the first one to do this. Don't be the first one to do that. But, you know, in your heart, you know, you have to be the one to take that first step. Because if you don't take that first step, then you'll never know. And there's a graveyard full of people that have been robbed of, you know, not conquering their fears, of not actually conquering, you know, the whole spirit of their expectation of their full potential because they couldn't take that first step. So make sure that, you know, one thing I just want to leave with you tonight is make sure you're not going to be the one to take that first step, no matter how fearful it is and no matter how it looks. You know, all you and God knows what He is intended for you. You know, no matter how bad it looks or what it is, don't forget that, you know, we may all look like roses, but, you know, we all had a bunch of crap dumped on us before we even looked like this in the end. You know, the end product is where we intend to be. It's not what was thrown on top of us. You know, we can shake that off and still look like, you know, it never happened. And that's just basically the basis of how things work. And we just have to believe and we have to make sure that we want to make sure that we truly want to conquer, you know, our fears. We want to make sure that we take that step. We want to make sure that we are the ones that bravely do what God commands us to do. You know, we can't pause or hesitate. You know, we just can't say, I don't know what I'm going to look like. You know, God doesn't care what you look like. He don't care what you sound like. He just cares that you obey His commandments. He just cares about you, basically. He's going to make sure that his end product is going to be untarnished, look as good as He wants it to look, and as good as anything out there. So everybody, you know, treat yourself good as gold. Treat yourself like a diamond. Make sure you keep yourself polished. Make sure you shine when you go out there in the world. Make sure you look yourself in the mirror and make sure you say, hey, I am God's finished product, or I will be God's finished product. With God's will, God's blessing. With that being said, let me tell you, it is a blast and a pleasure doing this. I'm glad to do this sports edition with you tonight. And, you know, like I said, I can't imagine doing anything else any other time or any other where but spend this evening with you. And thank you so much for inviting me for tonight's program. And with that being said, I'm going to end tonight's program, and I'm just going to steal somebody else's phrase. Doses!
Jesus bled.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never want to see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.
Yeah.